Good morning to the world. Good morning to the world. So today is open topics on all issues in the hood, right? And my topic for me is what have we learned about the COVID-19? And was it an attack on the world or not? And what, you know, what do we do moving forward? Because I was talking to a brother yesterday, and he was talking about people being dumb for getting the shot, and those that got the shot won't die a horrendous death. And we shot ourselves, we nuked ourselves, and that 5G is going to be what take us out. And so I'm listening to the brother, right? And so it just dawned on me, yeah, whatever happened to the COVID-19? They keep saying people getting sick, but it ain't on the TV like it was, man. You remember when they were showing on TV every day where the thousands and thousands of people was dying in different parts of the world and different parts of the city, and this zip code was the most contagious and all type of stuff, man. I think it was also a money scheme, right, for those to be in power to get more money or to, you know, charge for that shot, to charge for the research, charge, right? And so I'm just asking the question, what did we learn from COVID-19? What did we learn from COVID-19? Without further ado, I got your host for you. It's Mr. Marvell Wilson. Marvell?
Yeah, good morning, brother. And good morning to our listening audience. We certainly appreciate your participation, and we would certainly appreciate your input on this matter of why and what about COVID, because it's a mystery. And it's very important for us to not only observe what occurred, but also grow from and learn from, or learn to move toward what it means for us to go forward. So it's not only what happened, but what's happening and what's going to happen that we'll do well to discuss this morning. So I'm hoping that our regular brotherhood is going to be participating. Anybody chimed in yet?
A 611. Okay, well, so a 661 number called and hung up right away. And so what I want to say before we move forward, that the calling guest call-in line has a thing where they're saying that you need to have a certain network or a certain coverage to call into this show. So let me see. Mark, did you have any problem calling into the show?
No, sir.
What about you? Caller from the 661, did you have any problems calling in with the show? Good morning. Okay, the 611.
You knew I just invited him.
Huh?
He's new. I just invited him this morning.
Okay, so he hung up. Yeah, he hung up. And so I had a problem when I called in, like Larry had last week when he said they was trying to charge him. And so if you have, do you have Metro, Mark?
Yes.
Okay, so
I'm on the government phone.
Okay, so yeah, you probably can get through, but the Metro phone is not allowing us to call in. So if some of our callers don't call in today, we'll find out later after the show why they didn't call in, and we'll move forward from there. But today we was talking about it was open topic on issues in the hood, Mark, and what we were talking about, as I said, what have we learned about COVID-19? Was it an attack on the world or not? And so the reason I say this is because a brother yesterday was just going off about people taking the shot and we're going to die a horrendous death because 5G network is going to attack the body in the near future, and just a whole bunch of stuff. And so one of the brothers that was with me, he said that that this is all a ploy for money and whatnot, and the people that didn't get a shot, you know, still standing, hadn't got sick, or if they did get sick, they didn't die. And so I'm just trying to figure out what happened to COVID, because at one time, all you seen was COVID on the screen, on your TV. They were showing you how many people dying, and they were showing them at a rapid rate, right? And so now, a couple of years later, I don't see nobody wearing no mask. I don't see nobody washing their hand. There ain't no 6 feet distance. Everything went back to normal. So I'm just wondering, was it all about the money? Was it all about an experiment? Was it all about a scare to the people of the world?
Before you respond, let me tail in on what Tim was saying about the challenges we've been having on this network, and it raises a suspicion to us that maybe somebody's listening that, or something's going on that makes it so that challenges are put before us. So we want to make sure that every time we get together, that we're putting together and structuring things that we can do and make happen outside of this, just in the event that something happens to this, because too many things have been happening in succession that makes us feel as though maybe we're a little bit too pointed about the stuff that we're sharing, and it might be a little controversial to a particular set of listeners that have the power to do something. So we have to be wary of the potential for that, and let's make sure that we're getting everything that we're trying to get as a collective, so that we can have ability to communicate with each other and structure things to make stuff happen for our communities outside of this network, because it's getting very suspicious. Okay, go ahead, Mark.
Coronavirus, as many know, and then I found out that many don't know, was cooked up in a man's mind. It was written down in a book years before it came out in another book. And before it came out nationally across the news screens about what was going over in Wuhan over there in China. In this book, it said the same thing. It was going to take place in Wuhan. And it all went down the same way that it was predicted in this book, just like a lot of things that's predicted in the Bible. And saying that propaganda has a way of working on a man or a woman's, a person's mind. Everything starts from propaganda. They'll speak some things into existence, and we're so gullible that we'll feed off of this stuff, and we'll believe everything that we're taught and told other than the first thing that you was taught and told. Now, if you read the Bible tells you that there's nothing stronger than God. If you have your faith in God, there's nothing that man can do to you. But our feeble flesh makes us acceptable to anything that man speaks. Like I said, we're fasted to believe them over God's word. So this coronavirus, here recently, last week, I caught a cold. I get the cold, flu, whatever you want to call it, every year, sometimes 2 to 3 times a year. Now, I admit back in 2020, I got real sick from the flu, but I got over it the same way I got over the past flus and colds. I got plenty of rest, wrapped up, sweated out, drank my teas, broth, and stuff like that, you know. I don't take medication because I don't trust medication. I don't trust nothing man-made. But I get the natural herbs and spices, and that will expel a lot of stuff out of our bodies. So when I think of this coronavirus, like I said last week, I got sick. I went to a party in Oakland Hills, and somebody there was sick. And they just started spreading that word. Oh, they got coronavirus. Somebody said so-and-so had coronavirus. Oh, I got coronavirus. Well, I took the test. My test was positive for coronavirus. Well, I mean, sure, you're going to test positive for something that's assimilated with the common cold. I mean, they all have the same, you know, the same, okay, I hate when these words leave my mind, but they all have the same symptoms. If you treat yourself the best that you can with the stuff that God gave, it will expel anything out your body, and it also expel those doubts out your mind. People get scared. Those are scare tactics, and those scare tactics seem to work because you see they had everybody locked up in their houses before, so they see what they can do just by talking. They don't have to use no physical force to get people to do things. They can just speak it, and they'll do it. So we got to stop being sheep and be rams, start bucking up against something. And I digress.
So I guess my interpretation of what you were saying is that it's the power of suggestion, and it's basically non-existent as a virus or as something physical. It's more, sounds like it's more mental.
Yes.
Well, I could subscribe to what might be local remedies or natural practices to rid the body of certain things. Just that when you say I have the Spirit of God and I have a good relationship with the Spirit of God, it could be better. Let's put it like this. I know it could be better, but it's good enough for me to not trust in what somebody say. And not follow what somebody say without evidence. And I had the thing three times. And my wife had it. She had to go to the hospital. She was in the hospital for 4 days. And when I had it the first time, I didn't think I was going to make it. And then when she had it, we didn't think she was going to make it. And I'm saying that to say that I think there was actually a viral a strain of something that works against the body, because we got to remember. I don't know if you're saying that they made up 1.1 million people died, and maybe a large percentage of them were susceptible to maybe something strong, a strong cold or something, and then as a result of that, they couldn't fight off the infection or something. I don't know. But a lot of people died while this thing was going on, and I felt like I was going to die. I had it three times, and each time it wasn't like somebody said I had it. It was like, yeah, I got something, and I better do something about it. So I don't know. I don't denounce or deny the potential for it being something that started, you know, got propelled to a level with words, but I really think it's something physical that occurred that made a lot of people sick and a lot of people died as a result.
Well, there there will be something out there, but you didn't get it out the air. You probably got it when you went to the hospital. Like I say, we get the flus. And due to the foods and stuff that we eat now, everything affects us differently. This food is treated chemically. It's got chemical compounds mixed in with other stuff that messes up a lot of stuff inside our stuff. So it's just a mixture of things. But I know people for a fact that went to the doctor. A man had a stroke, went to the doctor, they gave him coronavirus. They put on his chart, he died from coronavirus. There were nurses that were saying that these people went into the emergency room with a broken arm. They put on their chart, coronavirus. And they killed them. Anytime you go into a hospital and they tell you that they got to incubate you, that's going to cause you to die. You don't have to be incubated for certain things. There are a lot of things that doctors do, unbeknownst to a lot of people, that are having these procedures done. They didn't know they did not have to have these procedures done. Up until now, they're telling them, oh, they didn't need to have that done. A lot of these women having hysterectomies, they didn't need to have it done. You got to understand the cunning of the enemy, the cunningness of the enemy. He does things for things. See, your body has some things that he needs in order for his progression in his profession. So he'll take these things out of our bodies, but he can't take them unless we go to the hospital. There's no other way he can get them. So all I can say is you keep going down there, being a guinea pig, it's like. But my God has been taking care of me. He gave me the common sense to eat the right stuff, do the right thing whenever the wrong thing happens to me, and he gets the wrong things out of me. This body is built to take care of itself. It's built to live. You got a lifetime guarantee on your body. It's going to last you a lifetime. You just got to treat it right. And don't fall for the okie doke. That's that pee again. That's that three shells in the pee. Do we have any callers online?
Yeah, well, you're kind of curious to know if this is inciting any kind of reaction, because I'm on the personal level, I still won't deny what I experienced. And here's something that keeps occurring to me as we look at how things are put into motion and how devastating they could be to one's spirit, to one emotionally, spiritually, physically, financially. I think it's difficult. Maybe it's easy for you, Mark, because you seem to have, you know, that type of overview and insight about what why someone would do something. It's just that a lot of times when these things are put in motion, and it seems to be so diabolical, so cruel, that because I don't think like that, and I think a lot of us in our culture don't think like that, we just have a hard time believing that someone else could be that cruel and diabolical. I'm going to give you an example. You remember when Rodney King got beat on nationwide TV? That was so cruel. When they played it so much to where we became anesthetized by the act, and we start reasoning that, well, maybe he had to do something for them to do it, like beat him like that. I mean, that was like they was doing like tag team wrestlers with batons on them, beating that man, and maybe something. We had to find something that was reasonable to justify in our minds why someone would be so brutal, right? So when we look at these things, these theories about, and we're looking at it from our past, we're looking at, you know, Tuskegee, we're looking at a whole bunch of different experimental experiences that we've had where we were actually guinea pigs for some testing, right? So when we look at that, we have a right to be suspicious. We have a right to be apprehensive. We have a right, the motives of someone. It's just that in this case, it's just difficult for me to think that this was something put in motion by suggestion or even put in motion with the goal to make money. It's just so far-fetched to me. I'm one of the guys that say, you know, I don't put nothing past some people. But just this particular instance is just a little bit of a stretch to think that it was put in motion deliberately for something else.
So what you're saying is that you think that the coronavirus just happened. You don't think that man would make something to destroy another man with. Is that what you're saying?
No, I didn't say that. No, I'm not saying that the coronavirus. I'm saying that wherever the coronavirus came, its impact was sincere and its impact was real. Wherever it came from, now if it came from someone who designed it in a laboratory with the idea of putting it in motion to kill a lot of people, that's the scientist and maybe the government of the scientists. Maybe that was their goal. Whatever it was that started it, when it got started, it was real.
You didn't sign in last night.
Go ahead. I muted him. Go ahead.
Yeah, so whatever it was, for whatever reason, was put in motion. And I guess I'm saying that it's difficult for me to reason that someone would create something that would potentially take the lives of so many people. I'm not coming up with what the goal is. You know, if it were chemical warfare, say for instance, something like that, maybe. But this was worldwide. This wasn't just something onslaught on the United States or another country. This was worldwide. So it was like, whatever it was like, oops, dang, it got out. Now we got to try to catch it. But it was real when it got out. That's what I'm saying. Because I had it. Thought I was through.
And so I got it. I had got it too. And I've never felt like that before in my life. I had the cold sweats. I had loss of taste. I had loss of smell. I had diarrhea. I had stomach cramps, body aches, and I had the flu before. And this was a super flu. It was one that kept me asleep, kept me just a man. And I had it. And, man, I thought I was about out of there, too, man. You know, I sat and a brother named Nasir Muhammad gave me some remedies. And it took a while for me to get back on my feet, you know. But I came back, you know. They say you might have certain things to deal with your respiratory the after effects and all that. I didn't have any after effects. Once I got over it, I was over it. You know, I wasn't seeing double or hearing voices or nothing else. You know, a lot of people put a 20 on the after effect of having COVID-19, right? And so what I do know is that in Wuhan, China, is where they said it started, right? And it has been said that, you know, it was supposed to have been designed to kill off a certain people, but it got out of control and it just took over the world, right? That especially in Italy. Italy was the hardest hit at first. I mean, that when they were showing reports in the areas of where death was occurring, Italy was knocked down. And they shut it down. Matter of fact, they shut Italy down for a long time, you know. Then the other thing is where if you went to the hospital where Mark was saying and people were saying, you know, they went in for a hearing problem and walk out of there and they got coronavirus, the disease, the ailment, right? And so the nurses were saying it and the doctors were saying it. And, you know, I was wondering why, you know, this had happened. But then I believe in the revelations, and I see revelations daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, right? I see it all, like Big Mama say, just sit back and wait. You'll see it unfold. And so I was thinking that was it. This is God's, the return of God, you know, to take over the planet. And so I just thought it was revelations and it's time for us to go when COVID came. When COVID came, it made me realize that, you know, there's something out here that we still haven't experienced that can come again, and they'll call it another name, and it'll knock down millions of people worldwide with that one. They're just waiting to see how to unleash this on the people, you know, because a lot of people died, man, and you can't say it was a hoax. It wasn't no hoax if people died. I had an aunt and a cousin. My cousin went to take care of my aunt, and she died, and a week later he died. Rest in peace, right? And so that's my cousin and my aunt, right? They died from that stuff, right? 1 week apart. He wasn't had no health issues. She did because she was an elder, but him going to take care of her, he got sick. She passed, and then a week later, he passed. And so I don't want to say that COVID was a hoax because too many people I know died. I see Brother Joe came in. I want to ask Brother Joe the question. Brother Joe, I had trouble getting on the line today. I had trouble getting on the line where it said that my network didn't cover this number, and so I had to pay $10 for Metro to allow me to get on today. Did you have that problem?
Today, but I did Friday. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Okay, Friday I listened to both Brother Marvell and Brother Mark and Brother Finus for about 35 minutes, and I couldn't understand what the technical problem was because I was in basically a soundproof my room. But, yeah, I've had some technical difficulties that I'm glad you asked.
Right on. And so today we're talking about, it's open topics on all issues in the hood. And so what my issue was, what have we learned about the COVID-19, and was it an attack on the world or not? Because everybody's back to normal, right? I went to a game, King game. I didn't see probably about two masks in 17,000 arena, right? I went to this Christmas party at Sierra Hills. Only probably one or two people out of 300 people had a mask. I went to the Diamond House Christmas function. Again, maybe one or two people had a mask on. Then I just did a competition where some young girls were doing a dance off, and it was over 300 people in this arena, this gym, and maybe one person had a mask on. And I'm just wondering how all of a sudden we forget about what killed millions of people. With that being said, Brother Joe, I'm going to let Brother Marvell run the show, but I just had to put that out there and let you know, man, I believe in the COVID-19 because I had it and I almost died, and I ain't never felt like that before in my life. I put my hand to God and thank him for saving me because I was down, man. I was down.
Yeah.
Brother Marvell.
Yeah, that's my testimony as well. And so when we could theorize about who put it out there, why they put it out there, and I would prefer to look at the what and then the hereafter. What now? Because you asked the question as well. What did we learn from the COVID experience, which is if you didn't have it, you didn't get it, you still were protective about getting it. So we were sheltering in place. We were minimizing our interaction with each other, and we were using computers and phones and, you know, the technology in order to express ourselves. And I think that as a result, we became a little less spiritually and emotionally connected with each other over that year's period, right? And so now we're at a point where some people are very comfortable with not being social or not being interactive personally, person to person. It's easier for someone to text someone than it is to call them. And then it's easier to call someone rather than to meet them, because they came up with Zoom and all these other things where I could see you and I could hear you, but I can't feel you. You know, and see, we are feeling, basically a feeling people. And when we get away from our ability to feel and discern through what we feel, then I think that it creates a whole new challenge for us in our community. So, the theories about why is here and who put it out there, all of those to me are valid, you know, because I don't put anything past folk, even though it's so diabolical and so cruel and so really difficult to wrap your mind around that someone would do that. Well, still, if someone did it purposely, then the result was what we had, and now we have to gather ourselves and assess what are we going to do in the aftermath of it. Joe.
Well, in the aftermath, it behooves us to be prepared. As we said last week, preparation, regardless of the circumstance or issue, if you prepare yourself, you minimize. And that has been a disservice. That's served a disservice. I think when you prepare yourself, you stand a better chance of success.
So, let's shake down the preparation process. So we're at this, we're kind of casual right now, and everybody, I ain't going to say everybody, but a lot of people are kind of, you know, I guess we just kind of willing in a way, right? It's like, you know, if it's still here, I'm just going to like pretend like it ain't and go for the best, right? However, you're saying that we would do well to do more research, be on the pulse of where the virus is, if it has, and keep the statistics about what cities or what areas is permeating or being more available and more in the atmosphere or what? Because now we're at that point where if we're going to prepare, we need to talk about what the preparations are.
You start, obviously, with education of the issue. Once there is knowledge, then that's when you start to plan what to do and how to do it. And that is part of preparation. The communities that were hit most were unprepared. As Brother Tim just mentioned, there were no masks. I've been at events and certain aspects where no one had a mask except me. And, they've given me the eye and looking at me crazy, but I said to myself, wait a minute. Wait a minute. So I just let myself. Even today, you know, for a while, when I joined kept a mask on, and then finally I realized that a lot of guys would say, I'm going to mute myself for a second. Thank you.
Appreciate you, Joe. Appreciate you. See, I like that. He's going to mute himself for a minute because he knew he had something going on. And I want to let you all know, if you are on here and you would like to speak, just push the number one. The number one will let me know on the switchboard that you would like to chime in on the various discussions that is going on. Anyway, you're listening to Wise Words with One Gong Show on Blog Talk Radio. The call-in number is 515-605-9861. That's 515-605-9861. We will continue the topics of what's going on in the hood, right? Open topics on the issues in the hood. But right now, we're just talking about what have we learned about the COVID-19. Was it an attack on the world or not? Again, the number is 515-605-9861. We'll be right back.
Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. What's up with it? Attention sack artists. You trying to get your music played? R&B, jazz, hip-hop, and comedy. Spoken word as well. Send your MP3 tracks to DJ1Gone at yahoo.com. That's DJONEGONE at yahoo.com. Make sure you give a call to 347-205-9722 or log on to blogtalkradio.com.
Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence presents Youth Healing Circle. Every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m.
Youth Healing Together.
2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California. Inside of Room 67. Our Youth Healing Circle is a forum where we dive into discussions about drugs, bullying, school, and life skills. We provide a safe space and inform our youth
that sometimes it is okay to not be okay.
During our Youth Healing Circle, our youth may hear from other youth as well as experienced adults how to problem solve and navigate unforeseen complexities that we all run into in life. 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California. That's Room 67, every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. For more information, text or call 916-889-0105. Let's heal together. Peace and blessings, King. Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence presents
the Men's Healing Circle.
Brothers healing together.
Brothers healing together.
Join us every Wednesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California, inside the Obama Room. The Men's Healing Circle is a place where men uplift, encourage, and inspire each other to be better through personal testimony, dialogue, self-reflection, self-improvement, and positive affirmation. Again, that's 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California, in the Obama Room. Come out and pledge to greatness with your fellow brother.
That's right, man. We are healing as one, man. We are healing as one. And we ask that you join us at any one of the healing circles because what we're doing is bringing our people together to save and help our people. I have a hand up on the line. Caller, would you please introduce yourself?
Greetings, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. My name is Pastor Don Jean, CEO. Shouts out to Elite 300 winning team members. Shouts out to you, one going for having this broadcast program for so many years. I'm just checking in, and I'm telling everybody about you. How you been, brother?
Hey, man, long time no here, Pastor, man. You still in Vegas?
No, I'm actually in Mesa, Arizona right now. I've been traveling, but no, I'm moving, man.
Peace and blessings to you, man, and welcome to the show, man. Go ahead and speak for a minute before I give it back to the host.
Okay, well, first off, this year is a very special year coming back up. It's the year of 2024. It's around the corner. We need to get prepared, get your business plan in order, write down your vision, make it plain, and then pass along to your underlings things to do. Everybody can be around, but we don't want people standing around. We want proactive people, people helping. Don't watch them barbecue. Grab a spatula and flip some meat. Just get busy. That's all I have, man. It's time for us to get busy.
Yes, sir. Without further ado, I have your host for you, Mr. Marvell Wilson. Marvell?
Yes, sir. And, Pastor, thank you, and we're very, very appreciable of your input, and you kept it very clear and simple that what you're suggesting is that we start looking at how to take up our mantle, each individual, to make the collective have the type of power and strength that we deserve to have as a people. So I don't know if you're aware or not, but Tim had introduced the COVID situation. And he asked the question of what it is that we think may have been the cause behind it. And one of the conclusions is that it was deliberate, and that it, you know, matter of fact, that was one of the conclusions, a fair conclusion, that it was something deliberate that maybe possibly got out of control. Oh, however, yeah. I think when we look at the aftermath, that's where we do well to have a better strategy for ourselves rather than speculate about who did it and why they did it. Because yeah. it was real, because our Tim can attest to that. I don't know if you know anybody that had it, Pastor, or hopefully you, okay, so I wanted you to volunteer that information. I didn't want to put it on you, because I don't wish that on nobody, right? So we have the experience to know that it's real, and now that we're in this, like, lull in the aftermath, we're suggesting that we talk about how do we prepare in the event that there's a reoccurrence, or what do we do to pick up the pieces that exist. For instance, one some of the pieces are, because we were isolated and disconnected for so long, it has become easy now for people to not be social, right? And the technology has made that even more easy, because now, you know, people texting and Facebooking and all that stuff, and it's very impersonal. It's, as a matter of fact, to me, it's not very yeah. spiritual, right? So that's the part of the aftermath that I think we deserve to give attention to, is how do we regain our connection spiritually and emotionally with each other, because to me, that's where we are, that's where our ground root is, right? We're that type of people. We are social people. We are wholesome people. We are spiritual people. And when we start,
Amen.
When something challenges that, then it becomes difficult for us to look forward and move in strength. You
yes.
agree?
Yeah, I do agree 100%. And while I have for the biggest thing we can do as a people is communicate. Without communication, we don't know what somebody's thinking. If you don't know what they're thinking, how can you help them? If you close mouths, don't get fed. And sometimes you have to ask for assistance when you need it. So I feel like we need to help one another, but we need to study our research before we start talking about it. Because sometimes we can take a mountain into a molehill by just having the wrong information. You understand?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Was that
I'm
me echoing you,
you? I don't know what's going on.
We talked about this earlier. Since we re-aired about 3 weeks ago or so, maybe a little longer, we've been running into glitch after misgiving after misgiving, and it just what it does is arouse the same kind of suspicion that we have when we start doing something, is someone throwing a kink in the system, or a wrench in the system, because we're moving in a direction that maybe someone doesn't like to hear or see. And
well,
that's a fair suspicion. I'm not saying it's a truth, but I'm saying but have that suspicion, sir.
We don't rest against flesh and blood. We rest against spiritual rules and things in high places. That's in the Bible. So it's not just it's not by happenstance. These things will come, but they shall pass.
Right on. Well, that shall pass part, that's that's what I'm anxious to hear, because while we're in the midst of it, it just seems daunting, and it makes you scratch your head to say, well, wait a minute, hold it. Well, why is this? Why are we going through this? But yeah, I appreciate that endorsement that you're saying that it shall pass, because we're going to keep doing what we're doing, and we're not going to look to the left or to the right. We're going to keep looking forward, type of movement and the type of change that we know we deserve as a people on this planet. So,
I really believe the biggest weapon we have is communication. If we don't communicate, whether we can agree to disagree, but we have to talk. And right now, we up on this platform. I don't know how many people are listening. I don't know when you're going to hear this. You hear this tomorrow. You've been in 3 years from now. But one thing that will never change is the word. And the word was with God, and God is the word. So it's very important for us to communicate and to tell people how we feel so we can do something to bring forth change in the world and make a better place. On that note, I land my plane.
Right on. Right on. Mark.
Yeah, I'm here. We talked about a lot of stuff, but we didn't talk about one very, very big cause from coronavirus. Coronavirus broke up a lot of families because families, they were forced to live with one another for a change.
Amen.
They were forced to spend time around one another for a change. It broke up a lot of marriages. A lot of people seen that they didn't love who they thought they loved. There was no love there. So it also caused parents to really see what their kids were like. Because jobs take them away from their kids. So it caused a lot of big changes. A lot of people had a change of heart coming out of coronavirus. So, I mean, you have to look at these things a lot of different ways, a lot of different ways. You have to remain, I want to remind you, you have to maintain an open mind whenever you're dealing with these situations because they are from the enemy. And you can say what you want to say, but that's my take on it. And I digress.
That was going to be that was something I had written down, was going to put forth for consideration, and that is, what impact did that virus and shelter in place and all of the isolation have on family? Did it strengthen family? Did it weaken family? Or did it make family have optimism that it's going to be better in the aftermath, and you have a version of it, and it's not very I don't know, maybe we'll put it to the floor and hear in response to the family structure. What did COVID have, impact did it have on your family situation? Anybody can chime in. Me being a loner,
it didn't have no impact on my situation at all. I went fishing every day. I didn't wear a mask at all. Jim will tell you, I was out to profess my God is stronger than anything that man could create. Like I say, my life went on. Matter of fact, I was happier. Wasn't no cars on the road. I could go where I wanted to go without being bombarded by traffic. I go in the grocery store and shop without being bothered with a lot of people. I mean, I had it was good.
Okay, but those who do have a family system, how what impact did it have on you with your family?
My whole life personally got changed because when I caught the COVID, it just changed who I was as a person. So it was just different for me, everything. Life, business, my clients were dying. It was just a crazy time, a crazy time.
Well, a lot of the brothers, because a lot of us are senior and seasoned individuals, our family structure is one of offspring who have their own families, and we only come together periodically. So I guess we'd be do well to hear from some of our offspring and their family situations if they're willing to chime in. However, I learned that I got warmer because I'm from Ohio. And I've been living in Sacramento for 14 years or so, 13, 14 years. And so my communication system is basically that that FaceTime thing or whatever you're doing. They used to have that other one, house party and that kind of thing. And that was my communication system with my family, and it got stronger for me because the communication, what the pastor said earlier, the communication was there. Even though we weren't in each other's presence, that communication strengthened and made it so that we could pour into each other's circumstance when we shared it. And everybody was, when somebody put something to the floor, everybody gave their input, everybody gave their encouragement, everybody gave their counsel, and it sort of strengthened it. But it has kind of waned to the point where the calls are not as frequent. We don't do the Zoom thing or the house. They stopped the house party, so that's over with. And then we don't do the FaceTime thing as often. And so it's getting back. It's getting back to that question about how do we gather ourselves and get back into the communication system that is true and real from spirit to spirit and have emotional connection.
This is a step in the right direction. Asking the question, because once you present the question, people can get time to research and figure out the answer. But that is a very good question. How do we keep going forward?
Hey, Pastor.
Yes.
Is that you? Yeah, there's some sounds in the background. I don't know if that's you or not.
I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's a technical issue or something.
Yeah, again. I don't put it past circumstances to make it difficult, because that's kind of what we've been experiencing.
Amen.
Please continue to call. And now it's telling me, please continue your cell phone in 1 minute and 73 seconds. I don't understand what that means. It says, please continue to call on your cell phone. About to go off.
Your phone's about to die. Yeah, you got to call in to the main number, but once you get on the switchboard, DJ One Gone will be able to open your line, and you'll be back in the broadcast queue.
Okay, so let me, because I'm the one that opened it up.
Correct.
Oh,
I don't understand what's going on. Repeat that again, Brother Marvell.
It says that your cell phone will end in about a minute or so.
And it says that.
And that happened before. Yeah, it says it to me. And so when that happened before, it transferred from my phone and my sound system strictly to my phone. Because, see, I have a sound system now where I can speak into the system and be heard. But then when it happened, I can only put my phone on speaker and be heard. So I don't know what. Challenge after challenge, but we're going to keep pushing forward. I bet you that. That's just telling us we need to keep doing what we need to do to make this continue to happen, because some opposition seeing the value of what we're doing.
Amen.
And they don't like it. So that's okay. Whatever we have to do. And then if you guys don't mind, when we come back, because see what occurred was that during our sessions, we decided that we're going to put together some committees and stage some workshops and start really pointing toward some of the issues that exist and get our bodies together, our men bodies together, and start working toward remedies for the challenges that we see exist in our communities. And I have a workup that I'd like to share with you before the end of this project, before the end of this broadcast. And, when we come, well, I don't know if I'm going to get disconnected or not, but when I come back, just be prepared for me to share that with you. And we can do that at any time before the end of the session. But I just want to let you know that as a result of us getting together, talking, and sharing information and putting things on the table, we have come up with a way to help our communities through committees, through classes.
They just did that. Just did that. Can you hear me?
Yeah. I don't know, but somebody need to pause. Mute their phone. If you're not talking, please mute your phone so others can hear.
That's Brother Bill. He won. That's on his car phone. That's him.
Yeah, that was me. And now I'm back to using that system. It went off just for a minute. It's when I turned the car on. It's man. Okay, anyway. so again, I would like to share that information that has been compiled in hard copy. And so if you're interested in it, I can get email information. I can send you the copy. And you can, review it yourself, and then we can start forming these committees with those who are willing, have the interest in, and are willing to participate in our committee. So I'll share that with you before the end of the broadcast. But in the meantime, anybody got an issue that they want to put forth that might be pertinent to what's going on, even not even just the COVID, but in the aftermath and what's existing now with our communities. That may even be tied into the COVID, but we still have issues in our community that we would probably do well to have some healthy discussion about. So if anybody has anything that they'd like to share or have a concern about, please put it to the table.
I just want to ask all of us that we continue to work on our own abilities, our dependability, availability, reliability, and help implore some of that into these kids, because that's our future. We have to groom them now to be the men that we want to see tomorrow.
Well put. So that's why when I share with the idea of movement, who has the time? Because right now, ironically, because technology has shortened time for a lot of things, it would seem like people would have more time for things that we're talking about, which is getting involved, being a part of a movement that enlightens and enlightens the community and brings more consciousness to the community. However, the more time that, especially our young folks, the more time they have, they're spending it on recreation and entertainment and have very little interest in anything else. So when I appeal now, it is to those who have like retirees or business owners who have some leverage of time, and people who are available with time to participate in structuring what we're going to need to get to our communities, to get into our household made up of a lot of young people who were premature seeds and they bore children, right? They weren't seasoned enough as a rule to be able to be the leadership that will guide a child to the type of fruition that we were guided to, right? Because everything is just kind of like hodgepodge now. Everybody's for themselves, and there's no really very little unity in the atmosphere to draw from. So we're the ones, I think, going to be responsible to set the tempo for the unity that makes it easy for us to work together. So I'm still appealing to those who are retirees or business owners who have the leverage of time, and anybody who has the time and has experience, knowledge, and wisdom to pour into this project so that we can get the community back on point.
I agree. It's very important that we prod these parents to become parents, not have fear of their children. Take them phones away, take them tablets away, take them laptops away, cut off them games for at least an hour or two and talk to your kids. You have to, it's very important, it's vital that we do this. so that these kids understand that they're not in this world alone, and there are some things that they're going to face that them cell phones and games will not help them in, and that is communication, like the pastor was saying earlier, lack of communication, and it's up to us that we enforce this, and once we begin to enforce it, these kids will begin to see that they do need us, because right now they don't think they need us, because there are some things that I could tell a kid he's not going to find on Google. Because Google is not allowing certain things to be put out there the way it should be put out there. See, we have to understand that the enemy don't like us. That's why we're having these technical difficulties. But we don't have those technical difficulties when we get together and we talk. That's why it's important that men form a healing circle in their communities. Form a healing circle with your friends where you talk about other things other than what that woman looked like or what you did at the club last night. There are more important things to discuss. We got to get back to it.
Ashe. So that's, you know, I'm jotting that down as a workshop, right? Because that sounds like a workshop issue. That sounds like in order for us to get a result that we desire, because what we see a lot of times, I'm gonna give you an example. When I don't know something about the telephone, and the kids see me, they look at me like it's something wrong with me because I don't know how to do stuff because they know how to do it, right? And they're looking like, Dad, you don't know how to do that. Well, we look at them the same way. But the child that sees that I don't know how to do it, they'll grudgingly take the phone and they won't even show me. They'll just do it for me, like they want to get rid of me. Like, oh, this guy, he's a dinosaur. He don't know how to do this. He ain't got no business in this realm, so let me get him out the way. Or that seems to be their attitude. And so they don't want to teach me to have the patience to say, look, Dad, this is how you do this. This is how you do that. This is how you do that. And so we would be remiss to take the same attitude when we see that they don't know something that we know. Because there's a lot of things that they don't know that we know. And if we want them to get it, we have to be, I would dare say we would probably do well to be patient with them and find a way to share with them that they'll receive it so that we can start bridging the communication system. But I'm going to write that down as one of our workshops, Mark, and that is getting the young parents to understand how important it is to limit and monitor the youth and their children's accessibility to these outside sources. Because the more we reach out, the less we reach in. And we're a reach-in people. We feel. And so when our feelings start getting challenged, then I think that's something that's a challenge for us that causes us trouble, I think. I don't know. What say ye?
One of the things that is important in what you speak of and what Brother Mark spoke of, and the pastor is leadership. There's not enough of us leading, and that's where one of the major problems is, because, again, without being able to visually see someone or a group of someone, such as what the committees are being formed to do, which is to educate and to support, then there's no follow-through. There's nobody willing to listen because there's nobody that's being seen. We have Brother Baxter Arbery, who is to be invited to the healing circle. Let's get that done so that we can get that kind of financial information to where we can go back and disseminate.
I know. I remember that. Hold on. I didn't even, contact with you last. Okay, yeah. I'm going to make a note of that as well. I had a notation, but I haven't done the research. So if anybody has any inroads, hopefully maybe Jim might be the personnel to help us get a little closer to how to communicate with that brother, because he shares some valuable information, and you can feel his heart and spirit.
All right, come on.
Yeah, you can feel his heart and spirit with everything that he shares, that he wants a good result in what he's sharing, and he wants that good result to be with us. So I'm going to write that down as well. Now, gentlemen, if you guys are ready, I'll share with you the project that we, matter of fact, it was something that was developed a little while back, but it's very fitting now with our conversation and what we've decided we want to do, which is take action. We're talking about the issues, yet we are moving forward and taking another step to create some action and reaction and some results from what we're sharing. So this project is called the Men Accountable Project. And it goes like this. It has been discussed by many and agreed upon by most. Somebody needs to mute.
Please mute your phones while others are speaking. Thank you.
That's kind of rough. Okay, this is called the Men Accountable Project. It has been discussed by many and agreed upon by most that men, more specifically black men, have the ability as well as the responsibility to lead in the challenge of addressing the disorders that currently exist in our inner city communities. The Men Accountable Project was formed to attract such men, those willing to participate in meeting that task. The method of approach is to draw from the natural resources found in men's knowledge, wisdom, and experience, as well as to secure their commitment to influence more practical ways to address the community's obvious concerns. Among them are anger that perpetuates division and frequently ends in violence, the value system, which drives most of us to uphold money as a sign of one's success, the lack in collective vision, meaning not being practiced at goal setting as a group, but instead focusing on individual goals driven by the money system, lack of trust, having few examples of things being true to their claims and people being true to their word. Trusting has become a risk that not many are willing to take. As a result, it appears that the risk is far greater and the pain far deeper when one is betrayed by someone they feel they should be able to trust because they look like them. So, why take that risk? Lack of strategy for unity. Having both seen and felt the type of ruthlessness that has been expressed when we venture to come together and work together, the challenge before us now is to unite comfortably without concerns for our past opposition. Of insight to our contributions here, meaning being aware of just how much impact that black and brown people have had here and elsewhere in the world, and to in no way allow anyone to suggest that their importance is greater than ours. Confusion about the feelings of love, meaning if for some reason one is not able to look upon someone else who looks like them and not automatically feel the sense of relativity and affinity, then it may be upon that onlooker to evaluate the quality of the love that they claim that they have for themselves. There are certainly more issues that merit attention. We just hope that it is fair to conclude that a lot of those issues that we didn't mention may come from the ones that we did. Committees will be formed to sponsor workshops. In those workshops, we will discuss topics like rights and laws and how to successfully express them without stimulating police aggression. Single parent motherhood, single parent fatherhood, supporting and promoting black-owned business, creating alternatives to gang membership, understanding the power of technology and developing methods to neutralize its control over our young people. And then finally, the Men Accountable Project will demonstrate accountability within its membership and urge the same with those in the community who may be struggling with the knowledge and awareness of its importance. So that came from us having just having discussions. And so now it's hard copy. I hope if you want a copy of it, you just let it be known. I'll email you so you can view it, and then we'll go forth to create these committees and start communicating amongst ourselves, gentlemen. That make sense?
Amen.
Ashe.
Brother Marvell, I believe very strongly in preparation. And so what I would hope that we could actually develop is a speaker's platform. Those guys, such as Baxter Arteferi, in those categories that we need knowledge of, then let's call them to on the floor here at the Healing Circle so that we can actually answer, so they can actually talk to us about how to approach and what language to use. It is not difficult to garner attention, especially if you're using the right language many times, such as what we were talking about as far as COVID-19 and how it could attack this country and our community. Preparation. As long as you're prepared, yes, there will be problems, but they will be minimized, very much so. So preparation, I think, is the key to just about any problem, as long as you prepare for it. And I turn to the Book of Revelation. That's the Book of Revelation, or anybody that's ever read the Book of Revelation, it's clear. These are the types of things that we will see before our very eyes. And the Bible has been true to its word. Book of Revelation is here with us now. How do we prepare? And Dickerson talking about it and making those strides to correct is a disservice. I just feel that preparation with the right language can solve a lot of problems in our community.
Right on. Language. Yeah. That's one of the bases for the communication that we see. Now I'm hearing myself echo. I guess it's not a bad thing. But that, right.
No, it's not.
Some of the language.
No, it's not, brother. Well, Brother Marvell, it's all in how you address a subject and how it's delivered. That's the only winning combination. How do we address the problems, the many problems that our community has, and what language do we use to address? One of the things that I learned from the book of the Holy Quran, and the teachings of the Nation of Islam was to learn through self example. And I'm big on that. When one learns how to fish, they eat. They're able to feed their family. If I don't know how to fish, I'm not going to catch anything. If I don't know how to bait the hook, I'm not going to catch anything. And that's the only thing that we need to do, is to reacquaint ourselves with the types of language and with the types of action that we once had geared for today. I would like to take this moment to invite the pastor to come to the Healing Circle so that we can discuss with you just how to attract other good meaning. We're all rounded men. And I stop here.
Yeah, well, when he's in town, I think that if you could apprise us, Pastor, when you're available, when you're in town, we would certainly appreciate if you could pay us a visit. That would be a great thing. Yes, sir. So, you know, hopefully you'll put yourself in the availability for communication from this point on, because that's going to be when we talk about the subject of communication. It's probably Amen. Important that we demonstrate what we're talking about and start communicating yeah. with each other and start gleaning from each other's knowledge and experience and putting together packages. You know, as I said, this format that I just read to you, I know it was kind of lengthy, but it's in-depth in regard to what it is that we're seeking and how we can proceed to share what it is that we want our community to know. And so, the
I'm
communication...
All about that,
sir.
Can I give you my phone number? You can reach out to me directly, or I can take down yours, whatever works best for you.
Okay, is that you, Pastor?
No, that wasn't me. I know it cut out, but it wasn't me.
Well, somebody just asked about could they leave their phone number.
Yes, that's what I need.
I wouldn't recommend that we do it on the air per se, but if you could share with Tim with the Hooked on Fishing, he's you know, he has a format that's all out Facebook and we have a lot of ways to communicate with this body through him. That might be the best, because I don't think we want to venture just giving out phone numbers and stuff on the air, because this is kind of like worldwide. And
I know.
I'm very familiar with radio.
I totally understand, brother. When I was 3 months old, I carried into a radio station. I've been on millions of these shows, so I know how it works. Hey, I'm looking for the communication, because I can only speculate without communicating. That's why I want to make sure that we get in touch. If you could, Mr. DJ One Go, make sure he has my contact information so we can get in touch on the show.
Got you. I wrote it down.
Right on.
I got your new number. I got your new number, and so I wrote it down, and I will pass it on to him to this show.
All right. Thank you so much.
Right,
I really enjoyed your show. It's been good. Y'all brothers have a great day. I will be here on the rest of the show.
Yes, sir.
Well, thank you, sir. Well, thank you for your participation thus far, and have a good day. Okay, so also, you know, while the air is open, we want to thank those who saw the appeal made by our brother Tim for his wife while she was going through a challenge yesterday, and those who issued prayers and well wishes. It helped. It helped, because she's doing well now and on her way to recovery. So we just want to thank those who were willing to share a word of healing and share a word of blessing to her, and we thank you very much.
Thank you for that acknowledgement, brother. That's what I'm talking about. When brothers come together and speak on real topics and speak to one another's heart and spirit, that's the type of reciprocation that you get. You get that back, right? And so that's a part of building our culture back, right? Because for so long we have stepped outside of our culture, which was, what's up, brother? Hey, sister. You know, we stepped outside of that and to a fog of thinking that, they think they better than us, so I ain't speaking. They got that now, man. Now, how they get, you know, we have switched gears, and there's not much love in our neighborhoods anymore. So we want to be able to let everyone know that this show is based on love for one another. Whether we disagree, agree, however it comes across, we want you to know it's all in love. It's not to outdo anyone, shame anyone, or belittle anyone. It's always an upliftment, encouragement, and inspiration for one another as we communicate through these airways and personally.
Right on. And I'm going to say, let me share this. The disagreement part, as a result of disagreement, that's what this project was formed from. Because as we had differences of versions of or different perspectives about it, we start delving until we came up with something that made sense to everybody. And that's why it's important for us to not be gun-shy about having conflict about our perceptions of things and about our perspectives about things, because out of that comes creativity. Out of that comes the product, the end product that we could put forth and be sure that when we put it down, it's going to have the impact that we're seeking. So brothers and sisters and those who are, who subscribe to what is righteous, because everybody that listens to this might not be a black person, but I'm sure you've observed the plight of the black people in this country. And if you want to participate, we welcome your participation as well, because this is not a black and white thing. This is mostly a right and wrong thing. A lot of airtime. Let's have it. Come on, guys. Come on, guys. We're on the verge of turning this thing around. We on the turn. So let's not participate and put in pour in to make things a little more clearer for the listening audience as well as for ourselves. Because as I said, I'm taking notes and I'm going to continue to structure things to present. And if you approve, we go forth. If you see something needs to be added, if you see something needs to be removed, we'll do it like that. Yet, it's important for us to continue the flow of information and the flow of creative thought for us to be able to have the impact that we're seeking with the community that we care about. Now I want to add too, when we talked about the family and what impact the COVID had on the family or did it have any at all, what I've observed in the post COVID is that drug usage has certain drugs. There's been a decline with young people in drug usage, but drug usage, there's been an increase of older people with drug usage, believe it or not. So it seems to me that we're looking at the socialization of drug usage could very well muddy the waters and create a more division on our ability to think straight and come up with good, solid solutions to the challenges that we intend to meet. So I don't know. Anybody want to respond to the to the increase of the drug usage for the older community members opposed to the younger community members? So we would think that the young people are using more drugs because marijuana is so pervasive in our society, in our community. We just think that the more kids are getting high off of the marijuana at least, and then using other drugs, because we had some young people in our fold that were using pills, crushing up pills and snorting them and that kind of stuff, and using spice and using these other synthetics that you could buy from the the Arab store, or buy from the gas station vending place, or whatever they call that. It's like you got a store gas station. You buy gas, go in and buy gas, and you can buy some of anything else in there while you're in there buying your gas. It's very, very strange to me. but they buying these synthetics and smoking them and that kind of stuff. But there has been not a great decline, but a notable decline in the reports of young people using drugs opposed to the older generation getting more and more involved with the marijuana usage, of course, the alcohol usage, and other drugs, because we have a lot of people who are in the throes of the post pill epidemic that they're supplementing that with heroin and now fentanyl. So we got a lot of older people who have moved toward fentanyl instead of oxycodone and those other drugs that they've limited your availability to. And so fentanyl slid in as that one-size-fit-all for a depressant and post or oxycodone. So, you know, it's one of the things that's it's kind of like in the shadows, but if we look a little closer, we'll find that that's going to be a deterrent for us too, or a workshop for us as well, to start dealing with the drug situation as it exists with our older community. What say ye?
And so let me just speak as a man that works with the youth. The youth is not declining at all. Every day there are new youth using drugs, whether it be weed, whether it be a pill, because right now I got some young kids talking about a Xanny. I don't even know what a Xanny is. But there are young people at the age of 11, 12, 13 years of age talking about using Xanny. And so I'm not for sure what a Xanny is, but when they get to talking about it and they say how they feel on it, I asked a young person, I said, hey, man, how does that drug make you feel? They said it relaxes me. I have a lot of thoughts in my head, and it relaxes my thoughts. And I was just saying to myself, well, it's killing your thoughts as well, right? It's killing your thoughts as well. And so there's a lot of young people that are experimenting the drugs, whether it be crushed pills, as you said. One of our youth mom sent me a picture of what was to be some pills crushed up, a razor blade on the dresser, and the crushed up pill inside of a dollar bill, which was the old way of getting high, I guess, you know, because I remember back in the day they used that razor blade and they crushed it and whatever, and they had the dollar bill out, and I guess you was player if you did it with a 20 or $100 bill, right? Snorted it up with a 100, right? And so about our elders getting high, man, at one time I thought the crack epidemic was over, right? Because they went to crystal meth. They went to crystal meth, and they went to a thing called shard. It's crystal ice or whatever. It looked like broken glass, so they called it shard. And so a lot of blacks never used to use that meth. They just was on the crack and the powder. But then the change of the gatekeeper came, and they started using the crystal meth. And our people got hooked on that so bad that it's their number one go-to. And so the crack epidemic looked like it had subsided. It looked like it was gone, because the people that I knew that to get high when I was out there serving, they were reformed. They were clean. They had turned the corner and was speaking out against the crack epidemic and what it has done to them. And then come into this pandemic, the coronavirus pandemic, them very same people went back to using. went back to using. And so I'm looking at them now. Now some of them is out there homeless right now. People that had good jobs mm-hmm. before that pandemic, and then that pandemic hit, man, they on Skid Row. They out there under a tent. And then went back to using drugs. I had a partner, I ain't calling no name, but he had reformed himself, and he was on crack back in the day, and he was homeless, and so he got himself cleaned up, and he opened up a nonprofit just for that, you know, homeless people dealing with drug usage. It was called a dual diagnosis, right? Being homeless, having a mental challenge, and on drugs, right? And so he ended up going back out there. The city was loving what he was doing. They promoted him. They pushed him. Matter of fact, somebody from the city gave him the money to get the nonprofit going, right? Gave him a van. They had him going real swell. But that COVID hit, and he went out there in the streets and never came back. He's still out there in them streets with a nonprofit that's running. Somebody, I forgot who picked it up, because it was already going, it was spiraling up instead of down. And I guess they voted him out as the chairman or the CEO and picked up where he dropped off at, but he's still out there suffering from drug usage. And so I send a prayer out to my partner. I ain't calling his name out, but I send a prayer out to him and ask that God deliver him again from them drugs that he know he cannot handle, that he know he has no business messing with after God give you correction and direction. See, it's one thing to be corrected, but it's also a good thing to be directed. And so he got correction and direction, but he fell short of his goals. And I just ask that those that, you know, are using these drugs, especially if you're an elder, especially if you're over 40 years old and you're back on the drugs and you're using the drugs and you can't find help to get off the drugs, I ask that you go to Yancey's Recovery Service. Yancey's Recovery Service, Google it, it'll come up, give you the number, and talk to somebody. Also, ACAC, another choice, another chance, another choice. ACAC. Look them up, call them out, and seek the help. Also, the Diamond House. Make sure you Google these places and see if they can help you help yourself. With that being said, I'm DJ One Gone, and I'm going to be done for today.
Okay.
You know, there's never been a shortage of dummies and dope. A man that goes back to something for whatever reason, he's got to have a problem. And during that COVID era, they put out that money, that PPP loan or PPE loan, whatever it was called. But anyway, they was giving out all this money. And see, like I say, money in the hands of a fool is like sitting on a mule of school. You can't teach him nothing. Somebody's going to get hurt. Like putting a loaded gun in the hands of a baby. Somebody's going to get hurt. Drugs usage, a lot of people come up on it through peer pressure. A lot of people come about it because they got some hurt somewhere in their mind and in their heart that they're trying to cover it up, and they think that the dope is the answer. And they don't understand that the hurt that they're doing, the people don't understand that not only are they hurting, but their loved ones is hurting more because they can't stand to see them like that. They don't want them around them. Man has just to wake up and be accountable, dependable, and reliable. Learn to love himself so others can love him. Because it's not fair to those that love you when you wish to go out there and do things against the grain and cause problems with people that's trying to love you. But they cause problems. They become dysfunctional. They become erratic. They do things, you know, some of them do things unconscious. I don't think they're conscious of what they're doing.
Some of them think it's making them stronger or they could talk better, but it doesn't. It enables you to do a lot of things that a normal person would want to do. So I advise anyone doing any kind of drugs, get off of it. That goes for prescribed medications. If you're taking a medication and it changes your thought pattern, it changes the way you treat people, get off of it. Because God has already put something out here that will cure anything we get. It grows just like we grow. Get back to nature.
I want to reiterate what Tim shared, which is those programs that are available just to seek counsel or to seek some direction for those who are, as I said earlier, and I'm not doubting that there's nuance in the youth drug usage, but there's just a whole lot of old school folks who are caught up as well. That Yancey Project, Yancey Recovery, excuse me, Yancey Recovery, and then ACAC, and then that diamond. I didn't hear the last, but the diamond part I heard, I remember. I want to reiterate that just one who might be in the throes or caught up themselves personally, or you know someone who is, use these resources to find out what their suggestion is to help the people that you care about. And attempt to intervene with a professional. So one of the things that we talked about last week was the inability of a loved one to know what to do when one is caught up that they care about. And one thing that we know from a personal level and from a professional level not to do is do what they call enabling, which is to feel sorry for them to the point to where you're housing them, you're feeding them, and you're nursing them back to a fit of health. And once they're back to health, they have, you know, a renewed sense of attraction to what the behavior that brought them in the jackpot in the first place. And we don't know how to do anything other than, but when we see them at their lowest ebb. However, what we concluded last week was that a smart thing to do would be to urge as much accountability when they're under your umbrella and under your cover as you possibly can. So if you give them chores and tasks and responsibilities to match and keep them in equal exchange for what you're sharing with them, so that they can get a sense of their personal self-importance and their ability to perform care of themselves rather than constantly being a parasite looking for the next host. So these are some of the things that are in the undercurrent of what we're talking about now when it comes to community members wanting to have an impact on the drug scourge. Well, some of the things that are being practiced now, unfortunately, could help perpetuate that scourge if we're not knowledgeable about the best ways to help somebody who's caught up in the drug usage. So that's just a little something to add to what Mark was saying about the reason why the drug. Because, see, when I heard Mark talk about it, the first word that came to my mind was temptation. What are the temptations? And I ain't talking about the way to do your thing to do temptations. I'm talking about the temptations that can attract one to go against the grain of their best interest because of the way something might look, the way something they think something might feel, or the way they perceive themselves and want to change who they think they are. You know, me being an ex-drug user myself, the temptations were for me to be socially accepted because I thought I was unique and didn't fit. So I had a lot of notions about what it was necessary for me to do, but when I didn't have the personal courage to do them myself, I started looking at these options to put me in that realm where I'd be socially accepted and liked and approved of, personable and charismatic and trying to move toward that kind of acceptance. And I found myself getting more and more isolated because the drug was dictating everything and I was not in control of anything. But that's because I have the precondition of addiction. And now I want to make sure that we have a clear understanding that there could be and likely is a distinction between a habit, a habitual behavior, having a habit that you, if you practice getting the habit, you can practice yourself out of the habit. But the addiction is something that is a little bit more intense in regard to the person who's doing it. Once they start, they're not able to really practice themselves out of it. They have to some outside source to stimulate them to practice and stay on point and have a discipline, because that the being compelled by addiction is a little different than being compelled by habituation. And I, you know, we can talk more in depthly about it. As a matter of fact, you can talk to Mr. Yancey about it. I've talked to him, and he has a grasp of those distinctions. And so we can get more and more information about what we're going through as a community with the drug scourge, and how influential it is for our collective next decision. Because collectively we make decisions based upon what's going on in our environment. And a lot of people just bow out because they don't have any idea how to have an impact. That's why we're doing what we're doing now. I know this is a long drawn out, but when we talk about the drug situation, that's sort of my forte, because I've been an anti-drug person in regard to that for, shucks, 20 years. And it's an area that I'm very passionate about, just like I am about anger. I'm just as passionate about the anti-drug movement as I am about us dealing with our anger as a community. So just let it be known that at this point, we're still compiling information. We're still gathering information to form committees, workshops, seminars, and having speakers come in to do, like expert sharing of information, so that we can get rooted in one message about something. It's kind of important for us to be able to be on point with one message, one thing that everybody repeats about an issue, and just have it just constantly in the atmosphere. Whatever we agree upon, everybody uses that verbiage. Somebody said that earlier, I think it was Joe that said that we got to have a proper verbiage. So we want to get together and everybody agree on what the verbiage is, and then we just saturate our communities with this verbiage that everybody who is knowledgeable and willing to help the community is on point with and saying, so that it'll take the same route that a lot of the marketing does with our kids. When they keep hearing and seeing something over and over and over again, the next thing you know, they're compelled to buy in. Well, we want to be the same, have the same force with our young people and our community members as those outside forces do when it comes to products and services that they benefit from, and unfortunately, we may benefit some But the beneficiaries are those who are putting it out rather than the ones who are taking it in. So that's my spiel on the drug situation. So, ladies and gentlemen, at this time, Tim has given me the reins, and I'm going to say that it's about, 13 minutes to 12. I mean, excuse me, I didn't change my clock in my vehicle. 13 minutes to 11. So at this time, we would like to start closing with any parting advice or any parting commentary coming from our speaking audience. So does anyone want to share something with our listening audience that they think would be have a lasting effect on the way they see what we're doing and the way they see what direction we should take to bring about remedy for our community's concern?
Now that we know better, let's continue to do better.
Sounds short and sweet. Joe? You know, Joe had that concern, and he might be having that concern right now, and that is that he might be able to listen, but he won't be able to participate as readily as he had been before because of this Metro is charging people now. I've never heard of it before.
It is happening because I'm paying for it right now. And if I hang up and call back in, it's going to say, you are now, it says, your network is not a part of this, so you need to pay such and such. So I did that. It's $10 a month, but you only get so many hours. And
wow.
I didn't want to use them up. I'm going to T-Mobile today and see if I can switch over from Metro to T-Mobile because they're the mother of Metro now. They bought Metro, and
right.
So they call it Metro by T-Mobile. So I'm going to see if I can switch over because I think that the T-Mobile is able to get through because, Marvell, you said you were able to get through, but then you said they said you only had a minute left, and I wonder where that came from. That was something new to me.
Well, quite frankly, that's happened a couple of times, Tim, but what happened when it come up on my dashboard to say you have 137 seconds left before you will be disconnected or something. And then when that happens, I go to my phone and I put it on speaker and you can hear me, and then I turn around and go back to my panel and I hit that little microphone and it'll come back on.
So
it's very strong.
That's because of your car. When that showed up on your car, that's because of your car. You only have so many minutes on there on your car, I believe. But if you used to just do it from your phone from the start and don't go to your car speaker or whatever, I don't think you'd have that problem.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's just
I've never heard of that. Just like I've heard of this other stuff, but that was new to me. I've never had that happen as a host, and so we're gonna find out what's going on. I'm gonna go to Metro and transfer over to T-Mobile. Go to T-Mobile and transfer over to T-Mobile so I can be able to be on these calls without having to pay extra money to do so because I did have to pay to call in today, and so it's.
Wow.
That's funny. That's funny how, you know, when you're doing something to better our situation, the world situation, you get snags like this. But that shows you're doing something, so I ain't mad at it. I feel privileged.
That's the consolation to that, is that obviously we're having an impact or we're showing – we're rearing ahead that somebody wants to be like the little game where where the head pop up and you take the hammer, you try to knock it back down. What is block a mole or something like that? Yeah, so that's the consolation, because all these little things is happening, man, to stop us from being a smooth flow. Is very, very suspicious to me. So I don't think Joe hasn't spoken back into this situation. So I think Joe might be excluded. We didn't have our regular body here to participate in the dialogue, but I'm hoping that we have listeners who are gleaning from or at least considering the information that's being shared. And when you feel comfortable, speak out or reach out or take some sort of action in your community based upon something that you think is reasonable from what you've heard here. Because it's going to take a collective. That's obvious. But how do we comfortably collect with each other? That's the question. How do we push past any of those little things that may have existed in the past to look for the commonalities that'll bring us together in the future? What do we do? Because we were talking earlier about, go ahead.
The only way to do that is by operating in love. We have to operate in love.
Well, Mark, I hear you say that, and I subscribe to that. I just want to know what is the formula for operating in love? What is the first step? And then if it's step two, what is the second step? How do we get to that understanding of what love is and how to operate within it?
By treating people the way you want to be treated, by helping people ungrudgingly, by caring, by willing to listen. We have to listen to one another, and we have to listen to one another wholeheartedly, with interest. You know, we have to get out of that selfish act. That if it's not helping me, it don't help. I don't care about nobody else. I'm only worried about me. But it takes all of us to work together, to grow together. So we have to lose that concept that it's just about me. They don't care about me. We have to act like they care and act like we care until we begin to care. Because if we practice anything, we'll become good at it. So I like to practice loving.
Yeah. Well, okay, so what if I say to you, look, I'm doing all right, man. I don't need all that stuff. I mean, I'm doing pretty good. I got my little wham-whams and zoo-zoos. You got my little car. You know, I got my little entourage. Because I'm going to tell you something, what I've observed. We can say, when we use the term the world, that's vast. But when we say my world, that could be comprised of two or three people. That's your world. Because I know some people who live in a world where it's only two or three people, and they just ignore everything and everybody else about it, because as long as they're cool with that little their world situation, they don't think about nobody else. And they demonstrate that because they have disrespect and disdain and disregard for and just plain old oblivion to anything else going on around them. So that's why I say, you know, they might have love for their people in their world, but we're talking about promoting love for people in the world, and that's the formula that I want to try to get more detail to and explore to find out what are the steps to step outside of your world and look at the world and see what you can contribute to the world. And a lot of times that's a hard sell. Especially in these times, post-COVID and post-technology, you know, it's that's the challenge. So, I'm not disregarding what you're saying. It's just to say, moreover, here's what we suggest you start doing, or here's what we do that has been working for us. And you're saying that you, what you do is I'm going to tell you something that you said that was really, really like struck, you know, struck a chord with me, and that is the selfishness. The practice of selfishness deters from any observation about what you can do for anybody else. And that selfishness piece is really a vital piece for each individual to push through, because we're asking people to push through something that they're already doing. And so we not only should be able to say what, but we should be able to say why and have some suggestion of the how. So that's why I keep probing. You know, when you say the love piece is just, that's a grand goal to reach. And I hope that we understand that it's important to feel it in order to give it. So if a person is not really feeling it, then we might be hard pressed to ask them to give something that they're not really feeling.
Well, the thing is, we have to go through life offering selfless acts of kindness. That's the key. A person knows what's hard for you to give up. And once you give up those things, a person sees the gratitude that you'll receive. So again, once you turn loose something that you strongly want to hold on to, you gain a bit of gratification from that, because you begin to realize it didn't mean as much to you as it means to someone else. That's sharing. And caring is sharing. So we have to be able to let go. And that's the same way you can free somebody else up by letting go of things, you free yourself. Because if a person needs a dollar, all I got is $2, or all I may have is that dollar. I give that dollar. That guy, that person that I give that dollar to, they feel gratified. I feel a sense of gratification that I was able to give it up. And like I say, we have to do it without thinking of what they're going to do with that dollar. You know, we just have to know that we're able to help.
Okay, so
it's
Mark,
a blessing to be a blessing.
We're at the 1 minute mark. So what we can do? See, I agree with you. We're asking people to perform those exercises of selflessness in some form, a small form. Do something for somebody, and they don't know you did it. Just
right.
Do something and start practicing and exercising the giving aspect of our nature, and just do it on a small scale to get the feeling. Okay, Tim, I want you to close out. We got about 30 seconds, and I want Tim to be the last voice. Oh, did he say he was? Okay, well, in 10 seconds, we want to thank our listening audience. We want to thank the participants who are regular, and we want to thank God for the opportunity for us to share about how to deal with our challenges in our culture, in our community. Have a good day.
Okay. I say.